Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mock Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Monday, the 1st of June. It would, in fact, appear we have conquered April. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
We've also conquered May, I think.
One would hope. Also today, I have with me John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. Nice to be here.
Glad to have you. And now, Charlotte, I'd like to start with you because we have a you have an article that you've published for us today about battery life and things you can do to extend it and make it as pleasant as possible.
Yes. Gather around, children. I'll tell you a tale. Once upon a time, we could leave the house. And sometimes that meant your phone would run out of charge and that could be stressful, because you didn't always have a plug point right near you. And in the future, that will happen again. And so what you want to do is preserve the battery life, and also, so you want to preserve the charge your battery has and also the health of the battery so it can hold more charge for longer. And over on the MacObserver.com, as you say, I put together some of my tips for doing that, for making sure both the battery holds as much charge as possible and is used as efficiently as possible when you're on the go, and also that you maintain the battery life for as long as possible, so that, you know, a year, 12, 15 months into your two-year contract for your very expensive iPhone, you don't find the battery is totally useless.
Yeah, I think the way to consider that is you want to be able to upgrade for features. Like, I would like to have a new camera, or I would like more storage or a faster phone, rather than necessity. Like, the charge only lasts half an hour. I need a new phone.
Bingo. And so there's a few things you can do. They're not particularly difficult. They won't particularly ruin your workflow or anything. They're just little things that, once you're aware of, actually will make your life easier, because you know your phone battery will charge faster and it will last for longer. So one tip that might seem really obvious but actually isn't, is you should make sure you download and install the latest version of iOS always. Now, we always think of doing that in terms of making sure you can get the most recent apps, making sure you have all the right security features, but also Apple does make improvements to how the battery operates, and making sure that you have the latest version of iOS is always a good start. There's another option which is called low power mode, which is in the battery menu in settings. That does stop some background fetching and data collection happening and some features, but it will also keep your battery going for longer, so you can balance when you want that going. Someone left a comment when I first wrote about low power mode saying they turn it on the whole time and just leave it. Mm-hmm. You may find that doesn't suit you because you want certain notifications and so on. But anyway, it's a you should definitely know it's there and use it when you want to make sure you can extend battery life for as long as possible. Other really simple things: lower the brightness of your phone, mm-hmm. of the phone display. And also, you know, make sure perhaps have it set on to be automated, so that, you know, it is using the brightnesses at the most efficient level possible and being used in the right way.
Mm-hmm. Control center is the fastest way to get to that.
Control center, absolutely. Yes, exactly. The control center is exactly how you should do it. You can get through it to settings, but absolutely mm-hmm. the quickest way, like with volume, is through the control center.
Yeah, if you need a quick adjust, you can do it through control center. But if you want to make sure that you've got that, like, brightness in relation to the ambient light and all of that, you have to go into settings to do that. Yeah. I actually turned my default, I guess, brightness is below half, and I don't really notice the difference at all unless I am somewhere, like if I am standing in direct sunlight, my phone might be a little bit dim. But for the most part, I don't notice it at all, except that I don't really have problems with my battery running out of juice. So that's
right,
been
exactly.
a pretty
Although
easy.
You're obviously using a brand new iPhone.
Yes, I have an 11 Pro.
Which has a hefty power. Yes. With it, but yeah,
well,
yeah.
I've turned the brightness down on my phone for ages and for several phones now, and I've just always sort of found it a little nicer than having all that light blaring in my eyes all the time. So
for sure.
For me, it's just personal choice. I like that it's not quite so bright. So your mileage may
vary. And it does, and it definitely helps your battery. Mm-hmm. You can enable optimized battery charging. Now that is more about maintaining the life of your battery, mm-hmm. because you know we've come to think really, we've come to learn that if you are charging your phone overnight and you'll get to 99, 100%, you know, 2-3 a.m. or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly for the rest of your night's sleep, your phone is kind of flicking between 99 and 100%. Mm-hmm. I think by general consensus, it's understood that that is no longer very good for your, that is no good for your phone battery. And right. So what optimized battery charging does in your iPhone is once your phone gets to 80%, I believe it stops charging, mm-hmm. and what it does is wait to go to 100% at a point it's learned you will find that useful. So you should wake up and it's 100%, but it won't have been at 100% for hours and hours previous to that.
Right.
Which is pretty clever.
Yeah. And it does get smart about that. Like if you have an alarm set in the morning, right, then right. it'll make sure it's 100% before that. Or if you tend to pick up your phone before that alarm goes off, it won't take long before your phone figures it out. So you don't have to worry about that one sort of messing with you and not being 100% unless something really unusual happens, because it doesn't take long at all for that to learn.
Since I've used it regularly, I've not had a problem with it. I did at the beginning, I was a bit like, oh, this is weird. I've woken up and my phone is only 80%. But it didn't take very long at all for it for that to get pretty quickly sorted. So, yeah, there's all sorts of that. The other one, which I don't know, it seems obvious, but I think we may have had a personal experience of this, is make sure your phone doesn't get too hot. Now, there's a couple of reasons for this. The first one is that that does reduce phone performance and, you know, control. The other one is actually the hot temperatures can cause permanent damage, including to the battery. For example, if you notice your phone's getting very hot when you charge, you should maybe remove the case, make sure you're not charging it in an environment that's too hot, because that can actually cause long-term damage to the device.
So with the COVID-19 thing and us eating outdoors, the summertime as well, I notice a lot of people like to put their iPhone on the table next to them while they're eating. It's okay to do indoors, but now that we're outside more, social distancing and sitting outside in the beautiful summer weather, your phone can get really hot on a metal table in a hurry. I'd put one of those heavy cloth napkins or a plate over your phone if you have to rest it on the table. Mm-hmm. I had that happen to me one time when I was eating outside and the sun crept over to the table. And as soon as the sun started shining on the phone, on that metal grill of the table, it got hot and it started sending nasty gram messages.
And I think they do have alerts. If it overheats, the phone can get pretty upset at you.
I've never seen that before. It's a nice protection mechanism.
In general, you shouldn't let your phone get overheated, and this is one specific reason why.
Yes, it is bad, and you will get that alert, like John said, but usually that alert comes as it's on its way to shutting itself off for your own good. So if you get that alert, like, definitely.
You've got too hot. I'm turning yourself off. It's for your own good. Go to your
I do
room.
Not recommend putting it into a bucket of ice with the champagne either. Don't do that.
No, even though it's waterproof.
He makes a good point.
Yeah, that's not the best idea. No. But yeah, definitely.
It's a waste of champagne.
That too. But definitely if you're getting that alert or if you're getting it regularly, that may be worth investigating, because it is bad for your battery. Aside from, you know, making... you know, chewing through what charge you have left, it can be not great.
Just remember that if you wrap it in one of those heavyweight napkins, that when you get up and leave the table, you don't leave your phone behind.
Don't leave the napkin. Yeah.
Yeah. That suddenly becomes a very expensive meal if you've done that. But there's just a few very practical things, and I know we all have different experiences of, you know, ways we like to. You guys were telling me before the show that I shouldn't, because I'm a bit neurotic about turning off apps that I'm not using and shutting them down.
Yeah.
You guys were telling me that actually it's not that battery efficient to do that. So that's, you know, if you've got something like I don't know. I have WhatsApp and I use WhatsApp the whole time during the day. Mm-hmm. You were saying that something like that, it's more efficient to just leave it running in the background instead of closing it and starting it the whole time.
Adam Engst wrote an article at Tidbits I quoted in Particle Debris a week ago, not Friday. And he said that one of his readers noted that if they quit their apps after every use, they got about a day's worth of charge on their iPad. When they stopped quitting their apps by flicking them upwards in the app manager, that the battery life extended to 4 days.
Wow.
So it really kills your battery to keep quitting your apps.
That's really interesting.
Well, because it's a bigger hit on your battery to start that app up from absolute zero than it is to bring it back from that sort of preserved or sleeping state. This is a thing that you will want to consider because some apps have the option for, I think it's called background data refresh. John, you might remember. And so some apps can be chewing on data in the background. So if you have a metered data plan, if you're not on an unlimited data plan, or if you're regularly not on Wi-Fi, then, you know, that might be inconvenient to you in other ways. But for the most part, you can prevent stuff like that if you don't, you know, whether it's location data or you want, you know, and you get alerts for things like that. Like, this app has requested your location so many times in the background. Do you want that to continue? And you also get the opportunity to change, like I said, background data refresh. So, you know, that app can't do anything in the background if you don't want it to. But it's still easier on your battery.
Another trick is if you're out and about and you're starting to get nervous about your level of battery charge and there's no charge service close by, is just flick off Bluetooth. That'll help you quite a bit.
Bluetooth is an absolute battery killer. Always has been.
Yes.
And we won't go into the kind of contact tracing problems that could lead to. But
that's true. But if you find that you're having a lot of trouble with your battery, sometimes that will do it. Or just low power mode, I think, will disable Bluetooth and some of the things as well, I think.
Yeah, I think it does.
To help that.
And it does, like, it turns off mail fetch and things like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, those are just a few little bits to try and keep the battery life going for as long as you can and to keep your phone's battery capacity as high as possible.
Yeah.
I've noticed that after, you know, 6-7 months of my iPhone, I'm down to, I think, 96% battery health.
Okay. There's another tip I use, and that is display and brightness settings. Auto lock. Keep that as short as possible.
Yes. Mm.
So for security and to keep your screen from staying lit up. Mm-hmm. Of course, it kind of depends on how bright your home screen is compared to your lock screen. Because it takes power to block an LCD and make the screen go dark. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you don't apply power, the backlight shines through. So it kind of depends on the relative brightness you have between your lock screen and your home screen. But generally, it's a good idea to keep your auto lock short.
Yeah. For the most part, yes. That's always good. If you have other battery tips that you would like to give us, you can email observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. Right now, I'd like to take a minute to tell you about our sponsor this week. Our sponsor this week is Devon Technologies. They develop apps that make it possible to handle your ongoing flood of information, and they handle it based on artificial intelligence technology. Their flagship product is the document and information manager DevonThink, which is the most professional document and information management application for the Mac. DevonThink helps you collect, file, organize, edit, and annotate all kinds of documents without ever leaving the app. You can put a live web page like a Google Doc right in next to a local file, and it all works seamlessly together. You can organize things in groups or by tags or both, whatever works best for your workflow. You can create smart rules like smart playlists in iTunes and add flexible reminders to any document. And even if you're not a programmer, you can build automations that will help you delegate all kinds of boring and repetitive tasks to DevonThink and let DevonThink handle that for you. For my listeners, there's a 10% discount available on DevonThink 3 or on an upgrade. And that's at Devon, Devon technologies.com/TDO. That's 10% off for a full purchase or for your upgrade. And again, that's at devontechnologies.com/TDO. And I'd like to thank Devon Technologies for sponsoring the show today. Now, thing the next thing we have to talk about today is a little bit of TV Plus. We're doing some Media Monday here. And we just have a little bit of time to talk about two things. First of all, the show Central Park has made its debut on Apple TV. And Charlotte, you wrote a little bit about it, including a sing-along opportunity, which I enjoyed.
Yeah, I've shared a sing-along. I've done a review of the first two episodes, which landed on Friday. I rather like it. Look, I think more than the fact that I kind of enjoyed the 20-odd minute episodes, I think it's quite an important moment in Apple TV Plus, because until now it's all been rather high-minded, big-name dramas with big budgets and big stars and high production. And this Central Park is an animation, it's a comedy, it's musical, it has a very, very high-end cast, from Josh Gad from The Book of Mormon as the narrator, to Stanley Tucci as the baddie, to Leslie Odom Jr. and so on. There's very, very...
Kristen Bell.
Yep, there's big, big names in it. But what it isn't is... It's not big and clever. It's silly and fun, and that's a really good thing.
It's stupid.
It's stupid, and that's the best thing about it.
I watched the trailer. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Yep. And
that may be.
It's silly. It's wasted time.
And I think that's exactly what Apple TV Plus needed.
Yeah.
There was nothing like that on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, and you know, comic relief.
Sometimes
everything was a commitment. Right.
And sometimes wasting time is a completely valid way to spend time. You know, a little bit of like check out and enjoy something else for a change.
Wasting time with the idiots of Central Park, right?
Yeah, it's nice. Look, it's about the story of the family, the manager of Central Park and his family, including two teenage kids. Obviously, there's a baddie who's trying to destroy the lovely park. Disturbingly close to British accent, I think. Why do you guys always do that to us? We're not always the bad guys. Anyway, I might be wrong about that, but I think Stanley Tucci is doing a British accent. Anyway, look, it's fun. It's very, very different to everything else on Apple TV Plus. It's making it a much more diverse platform. It may not be your favorite thing ever. It's certainly not as clever or as engaging or as, you know,
thoughtful. Maybe.
Or as good as anything else on Apple TV.
No, that's not fair. You know, it isn't defending Jacob. It isn't the morning show.
Right.
But
it's not heavy by any means.
And I think probably that's really, it was taking itself quite seriously, Apple TV Plus.
Yes.
Apart from the kids stuff. And I think it's probably a good thing there's starting to be some things in there that don't take themselves so seriously.
Yeah, and I'm for that too, even if it's not a show I enjoy.
Especially since Apple seems to be inching towards one of its focuses being kids' fare for kids at home.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think so. Now, I'm not necessarily sure this is a kid show. Like,
probably not.
Is fun. There's nothing particularly egregious in it, but it's a bit, you know, it's got an edge to it.
Well, it's sort of like Bob's Burgers. It's from the same people, and it's sort of like that. Like, there's not necessarily adult themes in it, but there's a lot of stuff in it that kids just won't get. It's not like it's too content, like too off limits as far as content goes. It's just that like there's sometimes stuff that they just won't catch. So
the way I see it is that the first lot of Apple TV Plus shows were its attempt to be HBO. Mm-hmm. And this is its attempt to be Adult Swim, and I think that's probably quite a clever move.
I think so. I like that it's there, even if I watch it and don't particularly enjoy it. I'm glad it's there because I like that they're branching out, like you said, Charlotte, with some Adult Swim content, some stuff that's a little lighter and more entertaining, you know, just for entertainment's sake than for actual, you know, deep, thoughtful value. Because there's a place for that, but there's also a place for something like Bob's Burgers or Central Park or, you know, something else along those lines. I know there's not a place for that at John's, but there's certainly a place for that at my house. So, I really expected John to pipe up for that, but I guess not.
I said my thing.
It's not even worth discussing anymore. Real quick, I just want to point out here before we have to go that We also have an announcement from Apple. Now that we've seen a show that's out, Charlotte, you also wrote up a show that's been announced that's coming.
Yeah, Andrew actually picked up on this one. It's called Her Late... Yeah. It's a new show starring Gal Gadot. Woohoo!
Yay!
It's called Hedy Lamarr. It's about, of course, Hedy Lamarr, the film star and actually tech innovator. It's an amazing story. Mm. I'm actually really looking forward to this, not just because of Gal Gadot, but obviously that's an important part of it, the whole thing.
Yes, and she's also producing.
She's executive producing and starring in it. I think it's 8 episodes, Andrew reported. So, look, this is much more the kind of thing we've expected from Apple TV Plus, right? Yeah. It's quite serious. It's going to be beautifully produced. It's going to tell a very worthy story, very interesting, undertold story. Mm-hmm.
I'm much more positive towards this one, I think. A lot of baby boomers who were pleased to watch the classics from the 40s and the 50s. Movies with, like, you know, Cary Grant and Grace Kelly and Jimmy Stewart and Humphrey Bogart will enjoy retrospective look at Miss Lamarr and her life and times. Mm-hmm. I'm much more positive about this. I think I'm going to watch this one when it comes out.
I'll definitely watch it. Apparently, it covers 30 years of her life from when she left Vienna and her rise to the golden age of Hollywood. It ends at this kind of beginning of the Cold War.
Okay. I think it'll be interesting.
I think it'll be really interesting. I think it's it's like very perfect Apple TV Plus content.
Yes.
So it's quite interesting, the contrast between the two shows, right? That's them kind of dipping their toe into something a little different and something that's, you know, a little bit more standard Apple TV Plus territory so far.
Yeah. I'm very interested to see it because... I know a lot about Hedy Lamarr, and I'm very curious to see how they portray it, because, like you said, it's 30 years, and she did quite a bit in her life. So I wonder what the balance is going to be like between the innovator side and the old Hollywood side. So and I think there's definitely a place to tell some of the more interesting stories from, like, old Hollywood, like John's talking about. I definitely think there's a lot of stuff there that would make really entertaining television today. So I hope we get more of that. We will tell you more about it when it comes out, definitely, because it sounds like we have a lot of interest. So we will make sure and bring that back for Media Monday. I want to thank both of you for being here. Charlotte, as always, thank you for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me. Happy Monday.
And John, as always, it's been a pleasure.
It's nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm always happy to have the Dream Team on my show. thanks so much again. I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.